Off the ball.
Rugby.
Quade Cooper, Matt Giteau, David Pocock, and those are guys that not only got to learn a lot from, but when I would look across and see them in the change rooms with me, I felt we were always a chance of doing well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls. Rugby Daily.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we will have all the fallout from yesterday's Women's Rugby World Cup action as Ireland got their tournament off to the best of possible starts as they beat Japan. We'll have all of the fallout from another super weekend in the Rugby Championship as Argentina created history against the All Blacks whilst the Springboks enacted some revenge on Australia. But first to Northampton on Sunday, and Ireland opened their World Cup campaign with a 6-try, 42-14 victory over Japan in an impressive display at Franklin's Gardens. 8 years on from their last appearance at a World Cup finals, this was an early statement of intent from Ireland with six different try scorers in Northampton. Emily Costigan, Niamh Jones, Bevan Parsons and Fiona Chute had the bonus point wrapped up before half-time, with further second-half tries from Eve Higgins and Enya Breen. All six were converted by Dana O'Brien. And off the ball zone, Susanna Mullen was there and she summed up events on the final whistle.
Full-time in Franklin's Gardens, Northampton, it's Ireland 42, Japan 14. Ireland have won their first game of the 2025 Women's Rugby World Cup. Despite their dominance in the first half, it was actually Japan who came out of the blocks firing in the second half, scoring just 3 minutes in. They continued to put the pressure on, and just when another try looked imminent, there was a moment of individual brilliance from centre Eve Higgins. An interception on Ireland's 5-metre line and she set off, running the length of the pitch to secure Ireland's fifth try in this game. The bench showed their strength with Enya Breen diving over after a sharp pass from scrum half Aveen Riley. The final minutes were played out to the sounds of Irish fans breaking into the fields of Athenry as Dan O'Brien booted the ball into the stands. Ireland will stay put in Northampton with their next pool game against Spain on August 31st. Another must-win ahead of their big matchup against World Cup title holders New Zealand in Brighton in 2 weeks' time. I'm Susanna Mullen and it's a full-time score of Ireland 42, Japan 14.
Ireland front row Fiona Chute said that it was an incredible experience.
I was so nervous. Got here, saw the Irish crowd. Warm up went so well. It was just an incredible experience. I just smiled. I said, you know what? Take it all in. What's the point in being nervous? Take it in and enjoy it. And once we got that first score, and we started quick, which is what we wanted to do. We were really happy with that then, and we got going then.
And co-captain Adele McMahon said it was great to have her fellow co-captain Sam Monaghan back on the pitch.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. I think the two of us have been itching to get back on the pitch together. Obviously, it was disappointing not to play Scotland and Canada, and I was nearly kind of emotional for Sam, having her first game back for Scotland. Very proud of her and the work that she's done in supporting us as a squad when she's not on the pitch and she's had her setbacks. So it was extra special to get to be on the pitch with her today.
Next up for Ireland is Spain next Sunday. After the game, Ireland head coach Scott Beaman said whilst they are delighted to welcome Six Nations Player of the Year Aoife Wafer into camp, they won't be taking the Spanish for granted.
I'll tell you what, we'll take Spain seriously. They're a good team. They've got a strong sevens background. So they've got an identity that they go after, and they're very good at that. They can cause problems. It's been brilliant to bring Aoife over. To say, you know, we're 32. She came in. We were doing a jersey presentation yesterday, and she walked in halfway through, and it was just one of those moments that's like, we're here. We're all here. So we've got our squad. We've got our competition up and running. Yeah, of course, there's bits to go after, but we'll go after ourselves as much as anything to try and be better week on week.
Elsewhere in Ireland's pool yesterday, New Zealand ran out 54-8 winners over Spain. In the aftermath of the game, Beaman has denied a suggestion repeated by former New Zealand star Ruby Tui on the BBC that Ireland will not go full throttle for their final pool game against the Black Ferns in 2 weeks' time. Speaking on the BBC's live TV coverage of the tournament opener between England and the USA on Friday night, Tui claims a contributor on the BBC said Ireland may not go full bore for the game against the defending champions if they have quarter-final qualification already secured. An off-the-ball breakfast on Monday morning, Ireland international Hannah O'Connor joined Susanna Mullen, Ger Gilroy and Vinnie Perth, and the topic was discussed.
A weird narrative coming from New Zealand about how we're going to throw the game against them in preparation for the France game.
Yeah, so this is really bizarre. On Friday night on the BBC live coverage, Ruby Tui basically said that somebody from the Ireland camp phoned in and said that they were going to throw the New Zealand game. Basically, the BBC presenter was a bit like, so you're saying they're going to throw the towel in? And Ruby Tui went, yeah, that's what I've heard, but basically I don't buy it. I think it's a double bluff.
Hannah, is there any world in which you do rest your best players for the game against New Zealand and go all guns blazing for France?
Yeah, there won't be a case of throwing it as such. I think the height of what you'll see is maybe a bit of rotation. I would like to think that he wouldn't completely rotate it around from a consistency and cohesion point of view.
And what people want to know is if Ireland beat New Zealand, and how significant is that?
So we beat New Zealand, all of a sudden we played the runners-up of that group, which would be in Italy. But it's not a fear factor either way.
Why not go all out to beat New Zealand?
If there's a little bit of rotation, some of these girls are getting their chance to put a hand up for a selection for a quarter-final. So there's very much everything on the line, despite it being maybe not a must-win game as such.
Would you play Aoife Wafer in that game?
Maybe put her on the bench. Aoife's been so unlucky with injuries and her injury profile of coming back. She does unbelievable rehab to get herself back from one injury, and then she could get the most bizarre injury in the next kind of run-up. So I think they will be wanting to mind her, but there's that element of match minutes. I've seen Aoife Wafer come back and play like absolute god, having not had any match minutes under her belt. So there's that argument too. So I'd say they probably won't risk her.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning on the Go Loud app and on YouTube from 7:30. Now, turning attention to the Southern Hemisphere, and Argentina secured their first ever home victory over New Zealand as they beat the All Blacks 29-23 in front of a raucous home crowd in Buenos Aires. Juan Martin Gonzalez and Gonzalo Garcia scored tries either side of the break for Felipe Contepomi's side, while there were 13 crucial points from the boot of Santiago Carreras. Billy Proctor, Fletcher Newell and Samisoni Takeoho went over for New Zealand. However, they were left to rue an ill-disciplined performance that saw three players sent to the sin bin, including two in the space of 3 minutes shortly before the break. Damien McKenzie's last-minute penalty at least secured a losing bonus point for the visitors, who topped the Rugby Championship table with 6 points from 2 games. And All Blacks head coach Scott Robertson said that his side just didn't execute in the correct areas of the field.
They won a lot of areas of the game that really mattered. Like I said before, the aerial game was a big part of it. A lot of the gaps and ball on the ground, we made too many execution errors, especially when we got down that end. Things like kickoffs that we put so much time and effort into, we didn't execute, and they just kept the pressure on. We just couldn't put enough pressure on them, and that was probably the story of the game.
Whilst former All Black Justin Marshall was damning not just of the Kiwis' back three, but also whether Leinster-bound Rico Ioane's days as an All Black are numbered. He told Mark Watson on Sport Nation's The Rugby Run that it is perhaps time to try other players.
Why? Why do we still continue to lose the aerial battle? What is it? Why can't we seem to just get that area right? It's an area that we identified going right back to Fluff du Plessis in South Africa, I think, a few years ago. Mm. And we still, you know, the Irish have done it well against us. With so much work on it, but we still just get found out every single match.
Yeah, we just don't have the right discipline and synergy at the back yet. Like, if you rewatch the game and you see the kicking strategy that they had in place, it was Will Jordan that was doing the majority of the 80% of it was him under the ball.
Okay.
And he was coming from miles away. So where are the other two wingers?
So quick question, is it time now for Rico Ioane? Is his time in the All Black jersey up? And is it time for Sevi Reese? And is it time to bring guys like Leroy Carter potentially in? Or, I guess, fullback come wings?
Well, you've got to ask the question, why is it going wrong? You know, those players have got to be in the zone. And to be a modern-day winger, like you look at the two wingers out of South Africa, Colby and Orenser. They are diminutive in stature, but they are amazing in the air. Amazing. And they are not afraid to go up and leap and contest for the ball. As a modern-day winger, you have to be able to do that, and our wingers today were non-existent.
Answer the question. Rico Ioane, Sevi Reese, their time up in the All Black jersey.
I certainly feel that we need to look at some different players in those jerseys to see whether or not we can get on top of this back three, and our counter-attack is not working either.
South Africa bounced back from defeat to Australia in last week's Rugby Championship opener with a battling 30-22 victory, over the Wallabies in a rain-soaked Cape Town. The boot of Andre Pollard proved decisive as the 31-year-old kicked 15 points, made up of 3 penalty goals and 3 conversions. Kanan Moody, Quagga Smith and Evan Etzebeth went over for the world champions, who blew a 22-0 lead to lose 38-22 in Johannesburg last time out. Australia also scored 3 tries through Corey Toole, Max Jorgensen and Brandon Payenga-Amosa, but were unable to replicate last weekend's stunning comeback. They came close to a losing bonus point, but James O'Connor missed 2 penalty attempts in the final few minutes. It means the Wallabies sit second in the table with 5 points from 2 matches. South Africa sit third on 4 points and will head to leaders New Zealand next, needing at least 1 win and 2 matches against the All Blacks if they are to have a chance of defending their title. Razzy Erasmus said that he was happy with some elements of the performance on Saturday, but mostly because they got a win.
Well, probably the scoreboard. I don't think we as a group underestimated Australia at all. We said it last week that that first 22 points, I think, put the whole world into a lull with how good they are. We found them extremely difficult to beat, I think, like the Lions did in those 2 test matches. And for us, O'Connor did miss 2 fairly vital penalties to be within 7 points, which would have made it really tight the last few minutes. So, after a loss, you lose a little bit of belief. And we won 8 on the trot and then lost 1. I think we're now 9 out of 10. But you do lose a little bit of belief. So the big thing for us today was to try and win and not let them get a bonus point. And now we've always had to go to New Zealand and beat them there twice if we want to have any chance. So we're back. We have lock points. They're ahead of us in the lock points. But overall, just happy with the win.
Whilst Wallabies head coach Joe Schmidt said that it was the fine margins that decided the game.
Yeah, I know it's a loss, but it's 3 tries apiece with a team that got destabilised early on. I think it does give belief. I think it felt like we made more line breaks. We created dangerous situations. We didn't finish them well enough, and that's a credit to a Springbok side who put a lot of pressure on defensively, and I think they had 35 kicks in play. So, they certainly peppered us with balls in the air and balls behind us, and it wasn't something we didn't expect, but losing both Joseph, who's very good in the air, and Tom Wright probably didn't help us much. But then it's got to give belief to Andrew Callaway, who came good back there. And there's a sensational take from Tane Edmett at one stage who, had to come off the bench and play 12. So there's positive things that we can pick out of it and positive things that we can build on, as you said.
And that is all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more later in the week. Thanks for listening.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.